بسم الآب والابن والروح القدس الله الواحد أمين.
Tonight, I would like to share with you some contemplations from the life of Saint Mary. First, I would like to start with the prophecies and the symbols of Saint Mary from the Old Testament. And then after that, I would like to share with you some of the lessons learned from the life of Saint Mary that may apply to us as well. And I guess I cannot talk enough about the glory and the honor of our pure Virgin Saint Mary, this lady from the tribe of Judah, who was chosen by the Holy Trinity to bear God the Word for the salvation of the whole world. So we cannot talk enough about the glory of the Holy Theotokos. I will start by the prophecies, actually, and the symbols from the Old Testament. There were a lot of prophecies that foretold the incarnation of God from a virgin from in the Old Testament. The first one being the one that was given to Adam and Eve right after their fall. And we can find this prophecy in Genesis chapter 3:15. And God was saying to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." So God was foretelling the incarnation of a Redeemer, and the Redeemer would be from the seed of the woman, meaning that he would not have a father, but a mother. So that was the first prophecy that God gave to our fallen ancestors about the incarnation. Many centuries after that, Isaiah the prophet gave more details about this version. So this is what he said in chapter 7. He said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." So he was talking here about the virgin will conceive. And even though the word virgin actually didn't seem quite right with the Hebrews, with the ancient Hebrews, because they thought that to give birth, it has to be through marriage. So it has to be through conjugal cohabitation, basically. But they never dared to change the word virgin to a more appropriate word, like a woman. And then after that, Ezekiel was talking about the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 2, he said, "The Lord said to me, 'This gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the God of Israel has entered through it.'" A clear indication about the Virgin Mary who would continue virgin even after the incarnation of Christ. No other man would be brought by her other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I guess, like, what I wanted to stress about today is some of the lessons from the life of Saint Mary. And there is so many lessons, but the one I wanted to stress is the theme that is going all along her life. And that theme was Virgin Mary was always living, feeling that she is not her own, but she is God's. She's not her own, but she is God's. And that was clear in so many aspects in her life. As you know, at the age of 3, she was presented in the temple by her parents, where she would live there for 12 years. 12 years living in the temple, dedicating her life to the Lord in prayers, in praise. And I must imagine at the time she must have even have, like, you know, known the scriptures by heart at that young age. She was serving in the temple. She dedicated her life to the heavenly bridegroom. She wanted to be a virgin. And then, unlike all the women in the Old Testament who sought marriage and motherhood in the hope of becoming like the mother or the grandmother of the Messiah, she had dedicated her life in virginity to the Lord. But then Christ, God, has a different plan in her life, since he chose her to be the bearer of God. But then before that, when the priest knew about her vow and her virginity, didn't want to break her vow, but in the meantime, by law, at the age of 15, she has to wed. So he had to betroth her to a distant relative, an aged man, the righteous Saint Joseph. But she obeyed. She went, moved to his house, where she lived there 30 years. So we see how she was surrendering her will to the will of God, to the purpose of God in her life. You see that also in the Annunciation by the Archangel Gabriel. She accepted the message of the angel, and even though she never dreamt to become the mother of God, when she was asked, she offered herself immediately and completely to the will of God. And that's why she said to the angel, "Behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then if we continue after that, in the flight to Egypt, another indication of how she has obeyed the word of God. It didn't seem logical for maybe God to ask them to move to Egypt. And I'll tell you why. One, because Jesus Christ himself, being the Son of God, could he not overthrow Herod, who was angry and he ordered to kill all the infants, the baby boys? He could. It didn't seem logical for them to move to Egypt. Egypt is the land of slavery, right? In Egypt, there is no temple. The perils of the distance from Jerusalem or from Bethlehem to go to Egypt. How would they go? What is the mean of transportation? How long they would stay there? Where would they stay there? They don't know anybody. But she never thought of all of this. Once the angel told Saint Joseph to take Saint Mary and the son to go to Egypt, she obeyed completely. The plan seemed different, but she obeyed. What was the blessings of her obedience? The blessings, number one, was Christ established the church in Egypt. So our ancestors who believed in the one God that they never knew, believed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this obedience, you and I are present here in this church. So there was a lot of blessings for her obedience. Even at the cross, all the disciples fled. She remained. When Christ, the crucified Christ, was saying, "Behold your mother, behold your son," she moved to the house of Saint John, the evangelist, and she stayed there 14 years. So you see how she obeyed all along, all in all her life, in all the circumstances, she was always ready to submit to the will of God. Why we love Saint Mary? We love Saint Mary because she's everything we hope to be. She realized the calling of Christ in her life. Always ready to say, "I am the maidservant of the Lord. That brings me to this question that I ask myself before you. When we pray, do we say, I am the servant of the Lord? The way you conduct and I conduct my life, does it reflect that we are the servant of the Lord? Can we say, Lord, you can have control over my life? Can we say that? Or let me say, how much control are you willing to give to Christ over your life? Do you realize that you are not your own? Because we are not our own. You and I have been baptized, right? Baptized and chrismated, anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. If we go to St. Paul in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, and I wanted to read that for you. And it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You are not your own. And I guess the challenge that we have is we want to have the presence of God in our life, but in our own terms. In our own terms. So I'll explain to you what I mean. In the Old Testament, God told Moses to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God among his people, right? You see that in Exodus from chapter 25 to chapter 28. Three chapters. God is explaining in detailed specifications of how he would build the tabernacle and the furniture inside the tabernacle. And he goes back from chapter 35 to 40 explaining even more, because the tabernacle at the time was a pattern for the subsequent temples, the dwelling place of God among his people. God told them to build the tabernacle. But he told Moses to build it according to the pattern shown to him. Right? I cannot get out of the specifications. It has to be according to the pattern. So if we want to have the presence of God in our life, build a tabernacle. Build yourself a sanctuary. And then I would say, but we are a sanctuary. We are a tabernacle. Why? Because we were anointed by the Holy Spirit. We became a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are not our own. In the New Testament, the wealthy young man went to Christ and he asked him what to do to inherit the eternal life. So he acknowledged Christ, saying, good teacher, what do I do? What do I have to do? So he acknowledged that he is the good teacher, but he denied his lordship over his life. Right. Or he would have gone, sold his possession, gave to the poor, and followed Christ. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. I know of someone else who did exactly the opposite. Saint Anthony, he was also young, he was also wealthy, and when he heard the same gospel, he submitted to the will of the Lord in his life. He went, sold his possessions, gave to the poor, and followed Christ. Eventually, Saint Anthony becomes the father of monasticism in the whole world. So the matter is, how much I am willing to give the Lord control over my life. God wants to have unity with us. But we got to give him this chance. We got to submit our will to his will. We cannot have this presence in our own terms. I cannot tell God, listen, God, you have your Sunday from 9 to 11, and I can live my life the way I want. I have control over my time. I have control over my money. And I give you Sunday only from 9 to 11. Saint Mary had surrendered her will to the will of God. Saint Mary is a good indication of how the Lord has been united to her all her life as a bearer of God. I guess if we are able to do that, if we are able to know the God's purpose in our life and submit to the Lord's will, not only we will have blessings and not only we would attain salvation, but the Lord could use you and me to also bless and save hundreds and maybe thousands of other people around us. It's a matter of telling the Lord, Lord, you have my life, you take control, do as you please, Lord. Where do you want me to go? I will go. What do you want me to say? I will say. We come every Sunday and we have the bread of life right here on the altar. I read this this saying, and it says, if one dies of hunger in the desert where he cannot buy bread, that's a tragedy, that's sad. But imagine if someone dies in the desert out of hunger whilst sitting on a basket of bread. What do you name that? That's catastrophic. So we are here in the church. We are the children of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yet we are living our life as if our life is our own. But we were purchased by the blood of Christ. We ought to live our life according to His will, like Saint Mary. We come to have communion. Yes, you can take communion, but I tell you, if you don't have this communion in your home with God, in your room, you can take communion, but you will not have communion. You can come to confess. Maybe like spending 15 minutes. For some people, confession and repentance is a cleansing, is a total washing, is a total change of life. For some other people, it's just 15 minutes wasted. So tonight, the only thing I wanted to leave with you is always remember that we have been purchased for a price, and the price was the blood of Christ. We ought to live our life reflecting that we are His children, reflecting that we are His own, and ask Him to fulfill His purpose in our life through the intercession of the Holy Theotokos Saint Mary. We ask the Lord to work in our lives, to unite us unto Him as Saint Mary was united unto the Lord, so we can attain also glory and heaven, and glory be to God forever. Amen.